Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Moses has already said that the rude mass of heaven and earth, which he also calls darkness and the deep, was made by the Word, and that work ought to be considered the work of the first day. Yet it is now for the first time that Moses uses the expression, "God said, let there be light," etc. A marvelous phraseology this indeed, unknown to any writer of any other language under heaven, that God, by speaking, causes that to exist, which had no existence before. Here, therefore, Moses sets before us the medium and instrument which God used in performing his works, namely, the Word. But we must here carefully mark the distinction in the Hebrew language between the words amar and dabar. We render each by the terms to say or to speak, but in the Hebrew there is this difference. Amar only and properly signifies the word uttered, but dabar means also the thing or substance uttered. As when the prophets say, "This is the word of the Lord," they use the term dabar, not amar. Even at this day, the New Aryans blind the eyes of those unacquainted with the Hebrew language by saying that the term in question implies, and is, a thing created, and that in this way it is that Christ is called the Word. Against this impious, and at the same time ignorant, corruption of the term Word, the reader is duly warned and exhorted to remember that Moses here uses the word amar, which simply and properly signifies the word uttered, so that the word uttered is something distinct from him who utters it, as here is also a distinction between the person speaking and the thing spoken. Therefore, we have before proved from this text a plurality of persons. So here is also an evident distinction of persons, for it affirms that it is God the speaker, if I may so express myself, who creates. And yet he who uses no material, but creates the heavens and the earth out of nothing by the sole word he utters. Compare here the Gospel of St. John, "In the beginning was the Word." He exactly agrees with Moses. He says that there was no creature whatever before the world was made, yet God possessed the Word. And what is this Word, and what does it do? Here, Moses. The light says he as yet was not, but the darkness out of its nothing state is changed into that most excellent creature, light. By what? By the Word. Therefore, in the beginning, and before every creature is the Word. And it is so powerful that out of nothing it makes all things. Hence, this irrefragably follows, which John eloquently adds, that the Word was and is God, and yet that the Word is a person distinct from God the Father, even as the Word, as he who utters the Word, are things absolutely distinct from each other. But at the same time, this distinction is of the nature that the most perfect oneness, if I may so speak, of unity remains. These are lofty mysteries, nor is it safe to go further into them than the Holy Spirit is pleased to lead us. Wherefore, here let us stop, content with the knowledge that when the unformed heaven and unformed earth, each enveloped in mist and darkness, had stood forth created out of nothing by the Word, the light also shone forth out of nothing, and even out of darkness itself by the Word. The first work of the Creator, Paul speaks of as a marvelous work, God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, etc. The command of God, says he, made that light. This, therefore, is enough for us and sufficient to confirm our faith that Christ is truly God, who existed with the Father from all eternity before the world was made, and that by him, who is the wisdom and word of the Father made all things. It is remarkable also that Paul, in his passage, makes the conversion of the wicked the work of a new creation, and a work wrought also by the Word. But here, reason impiously busies itself with foolish questions. It argues, if the word ever existed, why did not God create the heavens and the earth before by that word? And again, since the heavens and the earth were first made, when God began to speak, it seems to follow that the word then first had existence, when the creatures began to exist, etc. But these impious cogitations are to be cast from us, for concerning these things, we can determine nothing, nor think aright. For beyond that beginning of the creation is nothing but naked and divine essence, naked deity. And since God is incomprehensible, that also is incomprehensible which was before the world, because it is nothing less than naked God. We believe it right, therefore, to speak only of the beginning, because we cannot advance beyond the beginning. But since John and Moses affirm that the Word was in the beginning, and before every creature, it of necessity follows that the Word was ever in the Creator, and in the naked essence of God. Therefore he is the true God, yet so that the Father begets, and the Son is begotten. For Moses establishes this difference when he names God, who spoke, and the Word which was spoken. And this was enough for Moses to do. For the clearer explanation of this mystery properly belongs to the New Testament, and to the Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. In the New Testament, therefore, we hear the literal names of the sacred persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These, indeed, are indicated in certain psalms and in the prophets, but not so distinctly expressed. Augustine explains the word somewhat otherwise. For he interprets the expression said in this manner. Said, that is, it was so defined from all eternity by the word of the Father, it was so appointed of God. But the Son is the mind, the image, and the wisdom of God. But the true and simple meaning is to be retained. God said, that is, God, by the Word, made and created all things. This meaning the Apostle also confirms when he says, by whom also he made the worlds, Hebrews 1:2. And again, all things were made by him and for him, Colossians 1:16. And within these limits ought to be confined every thought of the creation. Our duty is to proceed no further. If we do, we fall headlong into certain darkness and destruction. Let these facts, therefore, be sufficient for us in any question concerning the world and its creation. With respect to the material of the world, that it was made out of nothing, as the light was made out of that which was not light, so the whole heavens and the whole earth were made out of nothing, as the Apostle says, He calleth those things that are not as though they were. Romans 4:17. With respect to the instrument or medium which God used, it was His omnipotent Word which was with the Father from the beginning, and, as Paul says, before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. Therefore, when Paul says in Colossians 1:16, all things were made by Him, for he uses the preposition after the Hebrew manner for per, the Hebrews thus use their letter beth. This and all similar passages are taken from this verse of Moses, who is here speaking of the word uttered, by which anything is commanded or demanded. This word was God, and was an omnipotent word spoken in the divine essence. No one heard this word uttered but God Himself, that is, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. While it was uttered, the light was generated, not out of the material of the Word, nor out of the material of the speaker, but out of darkness itself. The Father spoke within, the work was immediately wrought without, and the light existed. In the same manner also were all things afterwards created. These facts, I say, concerning the manner of the creation, are amply sufficient for us. But here again a well-known question is perpetually agitated, namely, of what kind was that light by which the original unformed mass of heaven and earth was illumined, seeing that neither the sun nor the stars were then created? And yet the text shows that this light was real and material. This fact has given occasion to some to have recourse to an allegory, who would explain the matter thus: let there be light, that is, the angelic nature. And again, God divided the light from the darkness, that is, he separated the holy angels from the wicked angels. But this is a trifle with allegories, utterly out of place and not to interpret Scripture. Moses is here historically recording facts. He is, moreover, writing and penning a record for unlettered men, that they may have the plainest possible testimonies concerning the great creation. Such absurdities, therefore, are not here to be tolerated. A second question is here also agitated, namely, whether this light moved itself with a circular motion. I confess that I, for my part, know not the truth of the matter. But if anyone desires to know what I consider the nearest to the truth, my opinion is that this light was movable, so that its motion from east to west or from rising to its setting formed the natural day. Although it is difficult to describe the kind of light it was, yet I am by no means inclined to think that we should depart without cause from the plain grammar of the subject, or that we should use any violence by wresting from their common meaning the plainest terms. For Moses distinctly affirms that there was light, and he reckons this as the first day of the creation. My opinion is, therefore, that this was true and real light, and that it revolved with a circular motion as the light of the sun revolves. I believe, however, that this light was not so clear and splendid as it afterwards was when augmented, ornamented, and beautified by the light of the sun, even as the sacred scriptures testify that in the last day God will make the present light of the sun, now unclean, in comparison with its future brightness, far more splendid and glorious. As therefore the present light is, as it were, a thick and imperfect mass of light, when compared with that light which shall be, so that original light was imperfect when compared with the light that now shines. Such are my sentiments concerning these two questions. Moses then proceeds to say,